listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Welcome to An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. I'm Tim, here with my friend Amanda, and today we're highlighting another one of North America's top site decision influencers. Amanda, you had a great conversation with Kathy Muzio. Tell us all about it.
I did. I had the pleasure of speaking with Kathy this week. She is the co-founder and managing partner at Atlas Insight. She has over 22 years of combined experience as a management incentive and site selection consultant. Before she co-founded Atlas Insight, she was a regional practice leader in the Business Location Incentive and Site Selection Group at BDO. She's also a reliable opinion source for trade publications and AP stories, especially pertaining to the economic development industry. So she has a lot of great experience. While a lot of her clients are Fortune 500, she also has assisted that small to mid-sized companies with projects as well. So she's got a variety of experience, and I can't wait for you to hear what she has to say.
Let's take a listen.
Hi, Kathy. Thanks so much for joining us today on North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So we'd love to start with this same question, just to let our audience get to know a little bit more about you. So what are three things that everyone who's listening should know?
Okay, three things. Well, I love all animals. I ride dressage in my spare time. And, you know when you play that game and your friends and family have to choose one word that describes you? Well,
yes.
I've been told that my word is highly principled.
Highly principled. Good. Well, I hope that comes through a little bit more in our interview today. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started in site selection, or maybe why?
Well, that is actually probably too long a story for a single podcast. But, all right, so I came from the music industry to management consulting to incentives consulting, which led to site selection. So, basically sums it up in one run-on sentence.
So what about site selection made you want to stay and make a career out of it?
It was interesting. It's always changing. Every project is different because it's a different community. It's a different set of scoping. It's a different factors that are driving it. So it's just ever changing. And I like the fact that it touches on a bunch of different things, like my negotiating skills to people skills to qualitative and quantitative analysis. I really enjoy it.
Good. Yeah, it's definitely one of those fields that you can't really get bored in. There's always something new to learn or something new to work on. So I definitely agree with you on that. Can you tell us one inside secret that you lean on when assessing communities? This is called an inside look. So if you can peel back that curtain a little bit and share with us one of those things that you really have learned to lean on when you're working on a project.
Well, I was going to say a girl doesn't give away her secrets, but let me see. One secret. This is really a data-driven business, so I'm not sure that I have an inside secret that I can give. But here's what I'd say: we all have heard the old adage. Well, at least those of us in the field have heard it, that we aren't really site selectors, but we're really site eliminators. So, with that in mind, on field visits, when we go in, it's really about whether your community has too many hurdles or more hurdles than the other finalists and that it gets eliminated. So I don't know that it's a secret, but I would certainly say that when we go into these field visits, we take copious notes and we really listen with the goal in mind, is this community going to be eliminated? I'm sorry, though. I don't know if I have an inside secret.
No, I think that's actually a really unique perspective on it. I don't think I've heard anybody say it quite like that. I think people talk about how to win a project and not necessarily how to not just get eliminated by something that maybe is preventable or maybe not preventable. So I think that's a great a great way to look at it. When you are assessing a community, what are some of those things that might immediately rule somebody out or immediately cause them to be eliminated in your mind?
Well, I mean, some of the obvious ones are, you know, if you are, for example, doing a manufacturing or data center project, and you find out through your meetings that this is an obvious one. There isn't enough infrastructure to accommodate the load that's going to be needed or consistency of the power, and that didn't show up in your initial information, but through meetings or conversations, it turns out that, oh, well, they're going to be able to get the infrastructure in place. But you know what? It could take 12 to 18 months where you need your project to come online in 6 to 9 months. Or through the field visits, you find out in your closed door meetings with similar type companies that they actually are going to have your entry level employees are actually going to be, to retain them or to get good quality, you're actually going to need to pay $2 more per hour than what had shown up on the analysis and in the research on paper. And when you get there in your meetings, you're finding out, well, that's fine, that's on paper, but that's not reality. So things like that could be critical.
Sure. Yep. That makes great sense. For you today, are there certain key issues that your clients or companies are really most concerned about that you're seeing kind of over and over again?
Key issues would remain and actually have, you know, have been for a long time. Business friendliness, certainly, of a state and a community. Overall cost, availability of labor, and actually the quality of that labor and the consistency to be able to backfill those positions. I'd say it's a challenge for a community who may be doing everything like right to not have the support of a state or its governor. I mean, it's not an easy task, and I'm not sure I have a solution for the communities, because we do see communities that are doing everything right, but they just don't have the backing of the state because the state isn't doing everything right. But I would say for the communities to remain as business friendly as possible and to foster that relationship with its existing businesses. And I would say that relationship that they have with their existing businesses and any local support they can give, even a listening ear to those businesses, can make a huge difference.
Sure. Yep. You talked about a couple of those things that, you know, you maybe can't really control, but that business friendliness or those good relationships with existing industry companies definitely is something that they can control. So I think that's a good look kind of at two different sides of the coin there. I want to turn a little bit more to you personally as a leader, Kathy, and ask, how do you define success?
So I would say success for me as a person in this business is having a client who keeps coming back to us year after year with new projects.
Yep, sounds good. Short and sweet, but that reoccurring business is huge. What is one leadership lesson that you've learned throughout your career that you carry with you, that you lean on heavily, and that maybe you could pass along to those who are listening today?
I would say to always be fair and to listen to your team.
Great. And what types of marketing strategies are out there that are working best on you right now?
Well, not to date myself, but I'm kind of old school in that I really want to meet the person and the community and build a relationship with them. I mean, this is a data-driven business, but it's also a business that operates on trust. And when we bring our clients into a community, and certainly with the time, the effort, and the cost that those trips take, we need to have built that trust with the community and with the local economic developers.
Absolutely. So you talked about relationship building. Does that work best for you when it's face-to-face, or is it just as effective to pick up the phone and have a conversation that way?
I would say, hands down, it's most effective for a face-to-face meeting. I think that you can't replace with a phone conversation the relationships that can be built by sitting down across the table, face to face, getting to know the person and getting to know the community that way.
I completely agree. And then once you establish those relationships, it's always easier to do business with friends than it is with people you don't know. Kathy, I'm going to get you out of here on this last question. If you could tell a room full of economic developers just one thing, what would it be?
I think it's to build relationships. Now, whether that's building relationships with your existing businesses so that they feel they're being listened to, or building relationships with the consultant community, that would be the number one takeaway.
Great, Kathy. Thank you so much. It's all been great advice, and thank you for spending some time to share your experiences and insights with us. And most importantly, I want to congratulate you one more time on being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants.
Thank you so much, and I enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.